God, we thank you so much for how wonderful you are, for how glorious you are, and God, for letting us get to sing that is such a huge thing this morning. God, I just pray, Lord, that as we study your word, God, that it would just speak to our hearts. God, just show us who you are. God, that's this morning. God, is us trying to understand more and more of who you are. And so, God, I pray, Lord, that you would just, even if it's just some small way, if we've been a Christian for a gajillion years, God, that this morning, God, that in some way, God, you would reveal yourself to us in a new way, God, that would just encourage us where we're at in our lives. Thank you for who you are. In your name I pray. Amen. Have a seat. I know I say this a lot, but I'm so thankful for those guys and for their ministry to us, to the talking about the band. Most people wouldn't have a clue, but as 24 has grown and they've had more opportunities to get to play around and that kind of thing at other places and things, they were actually doing a gig this weekend for a student ministry outside of Memphis, Tennessee. I talked with Nathan last night at about 10:45 when they were beginning to load the trailer there, and they came back and got here, I don't know, probably 2 o'clock this morning and set up the majority of the sound equipment portion of this so that they could be here doing this for us today. And people would probably say, they're probably just playing around to make a name for themselves or whatever, and that's so not their heart, and that's so not why they ever take a gig. It is always because it is, and if you ever talk to Nathan very much, you will hear that his heart bleeds ministry. And every time they're doing that, they see ministry opportunity come from that. And it's just awesome to get to see how God is using them to get to do that these days. And such an amazing thing. So pat them on the back. And we don't pay them much. In fact, we don't pay most of them anything. slip them a gift card to a local Mexican restaurant where they can take their pastor. it's so good to see you this morning. Just a quick little blurb here about this. Today we're kind of finishing up the Trinity, and as you well know, we've been studying through this entire series called I Am. It's really taken all of our fall. We've never done anything like that, and we've taken a few brief breaks here and there, and it's one of those things that I've really prayed about, and we just kind of said, we're just going to let this thing go, and we're just going to study on it and study through it until God says, hey, let's do this. And so this is actually going to be the last week for a while of us studying through the I Am subject matter on who God is. And this particular week, of course, we're studying about who Jesus Christ is. But next week, and I'm telling you this because you may know some people in your life that just need to really be encouraged. Maybe they're going through a lot. Maybe they're struggling. Maybe it's just one of those things of just kind of keeping your family grounded for the Christmas season or whatever it would be. But over the next 3 weeks, starting next weekend, we're going to be in a series called Light. And I can't encourage you enough to try to make all 3 weeks of this, especially before the holidays hit and all that stuff. I know this is a busy time of year. I know it's a crazy time of year. And I don't know if it's, I hope it's not the fault of leadership that we kind of have a culture, but we realize as a staff and as many leaders in our church would tell you, we realize that we minister to a lot of people that are kind of at church every other weekend kind of thing. And I'm not preaching a message about it this morning, so I don't want to take a lot of time on it, but I can't encourage you enough the importance of having your family worshiping in the local church, being a part of the bride of Christ. I can't encourage you enough on that. And it's so important that there's a commandment about it. And the whole keeping the Sabbath holy thing is because God understands that we as human beings need a day to rest, and He wants us to do it in Him. And so, I'm not trying to ruin your shopping plans for tonight or whatever. I'm just saying, realize that God understood that importance when He made us, when He created us. And if that's so important and vital to who we are, and it's going to be vital to your family, and especially as your children get older and all that stuff, and I could get into all that, and I won't. But anyway, it's good to see you this morning. It's very good to see you. I want us to talk this morning about Christ. Last weekend we talked about the functions of the Trinity, and I sometimes tend to just have like verbal diarrhea, for lack of better terms, on some Sundays, and last Sunday may have been one of those where I just kind of just threw out so much that I think I know at least a couple people afterwards were like, I don't know what happened today. He talked a whole lot about a whole lot of stuff with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and I hope that you got some pieces of the functions of that. But today the functioning person of the Godhead of the Trinity that we're talking about is Christ Himself. And of course, with the Trinity, we've been talking through this thing, and especially last weekend, we're kind of talking about how those guys work together. When we see the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and the Father, you know, we see in, you know, in terms of almost being like a father. Not almost, but being a father figure to the Son, and, you know, asking the Son to do things such as, hey, will you go down there and will you, you know, redeem all these horrible people of their sins? And of course, the Son is obedient. He does that, and we see that in Jesus Christ. And Christ is who we're talking about today. And I kind of tried to hit Holy Spirit a little harder than the rest last week, and that was purposeful, because I feel like a lot of people will just kind of discount the Holy Spirit and don't want to study about it, or they're afraid of the Holy Spirit and all this kind of stuff. And there's no need to be afraid of the Holy Spirit. There is reasons to be afraid of the way people act sometimes when they want to bring up the subject matter of the Holy Spirit, because sometimes they're acting unbiblical. And this morning, I want us to hone in on who Christ is. And you're probably thinking right off the bat, you're going, oh, wait a minute, you know, I got this one. I'm ready to go. I know Jesus. Jesus is in my heart. Got it. Cross, cave, the whole bit. There's angels. There's a donkey and a manger and the whole thing. I've got it. I'm good. And I'm sure to some extent you probably are. But we don't ever need to get to the point where we're just going, you know what, I've got that. I'm good with that. We've got to constantly challenge ourselves with Scripture and constantly go back to even the things that are just the basics of our faith and just go, you know what, I do have that to some degree, but maybe God wants to teach me something else about that. And my prayer for us this morning is that God will teach us something else about that. I have probably preached out of this passage of Scripture, I don't know, maybe more than every other passage of Scripture in the book of the Bible. I don't know. But this passage of Scripture just rings so true for who Christ is and for what He did. And it comes out of the book of Philippians, Philippians chapter 2. And I want us just to kind of check this out for just a minute. Philippians 2 verse 5 says this: your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Now right there, right off the bat, right there, we are getting just the very basic. If you want to know what it means to become a Christian, it means to be a Christ follower. There are a lot of people that call themselves Christians that are not Christ followers. You get that? You hear me say a lot of times, I don't always refer to us as Christians, but people that are Christ followers and are believers, people that believe in something, are going to go after it. They're not just going to say, oh, I believe in that, but I'm not really going to do it. You see, true believers are followers. They sink their lives into that thing. And that goes for us when it comes to knowing Christ as our personal Savior. This passage of Scripture, Paul is starting this off before he's about to throw on a bunch of stuff about who Christ is. He is saying this: your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Christ is the ultimate example of what it means to be a Christian. Is it? That's it. That is the thing. You know, and I'll just tell you, I know more than anybody, I can get so consumed with stuff in this world. I can get so consumed with the junk I want to collect, or the things that I'm, you know, doing around the house, or whatever it is, just like everybody else. And some of it's important. Some of it helps make money for the family, or whatever it is. But in the midst of all of those things, when we lose sight of living our lives out as Christ followers, we are missing the mark. We're missing the whole thing. Come to church all you want, it's not going to do you any good unless you're a Christ follower. If you're shopping this thing out and you're trying to figure out what Christianity's about and whether or not you want to be a part of that today, I'm just going to tell you this. It is not about being at church necessarily. That is a big part of becoming a Christian and knowing Christ and worshiping Him and being a part of a body of believers, all very biblical. But I'm telling you, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, you are up a creek without a paddle, and you might as well be without a boat. Because going to church a lot is not going to save you. And that's a misconception. You can't be too good. The question always rings, and I always say this whenever I talk about this, but the question always rings whenever I get in a conversation with somebody about them saying, you know, what do you think it takes to get to heaven? And they say, well, you know, I think it means being a good person. Well, the question I always have is, well, how good is good enough? Where's that line at? Because I want to make sure that I don't miss that. But for those of us that know Christ as our Savior, we know that Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. It is through Christ that we can enter into heaven and have eternal life with our Heavenly Father. I want to read the rest of this passage here. I want to get into this. It's important for us to clothe ourselves in Christ Jesus. And that's so important for us to get this morning, for us to live a life just like Christ would live His life. And here is Christ's life. So get ready for this. Verse 6, check this out. Who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. So on the very get-go of this thing, Jesus, in His human form, even understood from our end of the spectrum, when He came to earth and became a man, divine God comes to earth, becomes man, is still God, and we're going to talk about this morning, He's God and He's man at the same time. In His human form, He understands that even finding equality with God is something that can't be grasped. He did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. Verse 7 says this, but made Himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. I just want to ask you a question. I was up late last night, I was studying. I was just flipping through the channels at the particular time that I was up studying. It had gotten to pretty much paid programming all over, which means lots of infomercials about, you know, pills that you can buy and mattresses that you don't own. And so I'm just kind of flipping through. And a lot of times when I'm studying, I'm just weird like this. I'll have the TV on, but I'm not watching it. It's just on, but at the same time, I don't want it on certain things. And so, you know, I'm just like, okay, I'm going to flip through and find just something that's not an infomercial. And about the only thing in the channels close to where I was at happened to be the World Poker Tour. Many of you probably big fans of the World Poker Tour. I don't watch it that much, but every once in a while I catch a little bit. It is kind of interesting to see what happens. And there was a particularly young guy that was on the World Poker Tour. He was, I think they said he was like, I think they said he was 20. It was funny because Budweiser was the folks that were, you know, the sponsor. And so at the end, when this guy won, you know, he was supposed to hold a beer, and I just kept waiting for him to drink it on national TV. But anyway, the whole deal with this was he wins this huge deal, and he wins like $1.3 million or something, and he's like 20 years old. And right off the bat, you know, it's like, can you come up with a different question than this? But, you know, no, of course not. Right off the bat, the announcer looks at the guy, and he's got the mic in his face, and he says, what are you going to do now with $1.3 million? And this kid is like deer in the headlight look. He is not even knowing what to say. In fact, he's like, I don't even know what I'm going to do with any of the money. And I thought, man, there's a lot of people I know that would not have had that answer. You know what I'm saying? They've already got it mapped out. If they could win the lottery, if they could do whatever, you know, oh, I would do this, and I would do this, and oh, an old pastor, we would take care of the church too. You know, and they're like, well, you know, would the church take the lottery money? And I'd be like, yeah, well, Satan had it long enough. Let's take it. You know, whatever. But you know, it's one of those things, and I just thought, you know, when we get a little dose of power, when we get a little dose of something that we know that we've got control of it, what do we do with that? And some of us are very obedient, and we do what God would want to do. We do what Christ would do. But our human nature fights against that, and we still want to just say, you know what, I got that power, I got that, you know, whatever that is, I got that key to kind of doing what I want to do. I'm just going to do something for me. Forget everybody else. And that's that struggle that's within us that many of us fall behind, but, you know, it's so important for us to understand what Christ did here. Christ became, and He came, and He's God, and He's divine. And what did He do? Taking the very nature of a servant, He made Himself nothing. Being made in human likeness. You see, and in that right there, we've just gotten a small glimpse of the heart of God. We've gotten a small glimpse into the heart of God, not just His heart, but what His heart is for us, is that we wouldn't be about ourselves, that we would be about Him, that we would be about others, that we would serve others, making ourselves nothing. But that's not what we dream about, and that's not the American dream, and that's not the stuff that we've been pumped full of with American Idol and those kinds of things. It's about thinking about us being the one that everybody is looking at and going, wow, aren't they just something? You know, and I just want to speak from somebody that stands on a stage most weekends in front of people and just hear my heart in this, and not a bitterness thing, but that I wouldn't do this except for the fact that God has called me to it. Because what comes along with those types of responsibilities for the people that God does call to do those things are huge. Huge responsibilities, huge expectations. Many of you know that and can understand that, and some of you are leaders for organizations and you understand that for sure. Our call is to be servants. It goes on, verse 8, it says, "And being found in appearance as man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross." And right there this morning, we've got this whole thing going on. We've got God the Father who has looked at His Son and He said, "Son, go on down. Go on down, and it's through you that I'm going to redeem these people. It's through your death. You're going to take on all the sin of this world. There's not anybody in the room at 24 Church who has a bigger sin than what Christ couldn't handle on that cross." That's huge. And He wants us to understand that today and for us to get that today. And I just want to talk for just a minute about Christ the human and Christ the divine. Christ God and Christ man. It's kind of like trying to explain the Trinity. You've got God is one. God is one in three persons: Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We've talked about that a lot last week and the week before. Ben did a great job. And today we're studying on Christ Himself, and even Christ has an incredible little thing going on here, because when He came to earth, He was God in the flesh, and Scripture teaches that all over the place. He was God in flesh, but at the same time, He took on a human likeness. He poked His finger, it hurt. He saw someone that He loved die, He cried. He felt what we felt. He was tempted like we were tempted. If you go through this, it's an amazing amount of stuff that you can see as the things that Christ went through, and why He went through them was for us to be able to identify with Him and understand that God loved us enough that He would send His Son, and that His Son would live a life as we have lived and endure the things that we have to endure. So that when He sacrificed Him on that cross, we could understand that that death was not without a price. I want to throw some stuff at you this morning. I want you to just take this for just a second. I want you just to think about these things. I'm kind of posing posing some stuff here for you to think about. And if you've got home team tonight or this week or whatever, you might discuss some of the stuff. You may be on the Trinity's part of the study right now that our home teams are doing. But, you know, you might even just for a minute, you know, go after this. But let's just say for just a moment, we've got God and Christ in the human nature. We've got two sides. We've got the divine and the human, the God and the man, okay? And in the man, the human nature, we see that he ascended to heaven and was no longer in this world. But God, being divine, is everywhere. Okay? Christ ascended to heaven, the human nature ascended to heaven, but God is everywhere. We see Christ at ages, for say, you know, about 30 years old when he started his ministry, and we see that. So you've got human God, 30 years old, but then you've got divine, the God part of this, who is eternal. You've got Christ where we see him, weak and tired. And at the same time, he's omnipotent. He's all-powerful. So how does somebody that's all-powerful get tired and get weak? You take, for example, when he was in the boat with the disciples and he was asleep downstairs in the boat and the disciples go and wake him in the middle of this storm. And he was very tired then and needed this rest. And so he goes to get this rest. And then when he comes up, what of course does he do? He looks at the storm and he's like, you know, whatever he does, and he's like, calm it down. And sure enough, the whole thing just kind of knocks off. And the other guys on the boat are like, whoa, that guy's playing way too much Dungeons and Dragons or something. And even as a baby, and even in the moment when that storm was carrying on and Christ was in the boat, do you understand one of the functions of Christ himself was to be in charge of all heaven and earth, and that he's holding everything together in this world. And so even as an infant baby, Christ was holding together all the things of this world. And even in the middle of that storm, when he was downstairs sleeping in that ship, even then he was holding together all the things of this world. He could learn things, as we see in Scripture. He grows in stature. But yet, he knows all things. His human body died, but God does not die. He was tempted, and this one will throw you for a loop. He was tempted. Christ the human was tempted. But according to James 1:13, God cannot be tempted. And what I did is I just kind of threw on you some stuff there to just kind of put out there the mystery of what surrounds this idea that Christ is both God and he is both man at the same time. And with that, kind of, you kind of have to admit, comes two wills. But Christ holds it together and lives a sinful life and creates the most perfect example that we have ever had when it comes to seeing something as that we could live by. I mean, it's the most amazing thing. And with this mystery, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, if we reject this and we want to rationalize it as impossible, then I just want to throw this at you, because I think that a lot of times we want to take parts of Scripture, but we don't want to take the whole thing. And I just want you to know that our church is about taking the whole thing. And if you want to rationalize it and just say, well, you know, that's just all impossible, Chris. Everything that you just said, that none of those things could be possibly true because it's just impossible. Well, I'm just here to tell you that if that is how you feel about it, then you have a different understanding of what possible is than what God thinks it is. And there is purposefully mystery surrounding who God is. And at certain points along the way, you know, and we're called to study Him and we need to know Him more. And that is one of the biggest purposes of the Bride of Christ and us coming together and making disciples and all of that stuff. That is a huge part of this. But for us in the midst of that, for us to understand that yet there are parts of this that will remain a mystery. And not even Scooby-Doo and his friends are going to figure it out, okay? We want to figure it out, and that's good. And it's good for us to seek answers. But I'm just going to tell you, there comes moments in time where you just go, I can't explain it. And I just want, I want you to know something. That's appropriate humility for us to have before God. For us to just be able to get on our knees and just say, God, you're so amazing, you're so awesome that I've studied you for years and I still don't have you figured out. The mystery still remains. And God, you get glory because of that. And that's just you showing yourself as being God and being I am. This morning, Jesus Christ, in this passage of Scripture, as we're studying this, did some amazing stuff. And what we just read about, in being obedient to even death on a cross. And then it goes there into verse 9. It says, therefore God exalted Him to the highest place and gave Him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And I just want us to just kind of relish in that for just a moment. Because that right there, that's saying, that's it. He's it. He's the man. And what that's telling us is that our Savior, no matter what decisions are made by people in this earth, in our lifetime and the ones before us and the ones that might be after us, no matter what Satan and all of his crew do, no matter what happens, no matter who you are, no matter who they are, no matter what they have ever done, no matter if they know Christ or they don't know Christ, there will be a day. And on that day, their knees will bow and their tongues will confess, just as this passage of Scripture says, that Jesus Christ is Lord. And that's our God. The term hypostatic union is the term that is kind of coined in theology circles around understanding that both Jesus was both God and man. And this morning, our Savior, who was and is still divine, for a moment in time became human so that He could come to this earth and that in His time here could leave the example for us to live by, that we could clothe ourselves in being like Christ. And I'm just going to tell you, if you want to attempt clothing yourself in being like Christ, your life is going to change from the floor up. I mean, everything that you look at will be different. Everything that you think about, everything you spend money on, everything you do will be different, because in Christ, you will be looking through a set of glasses that see a hurting world. And see people that need us to serve them, and be there for them, and have a church that has a heart for that for them, and has a church that is about worshiping who God is. That we don't have to wait till the day that we die for us to bow our knee and say, Jesus, you are Lord. That we can do that today. God has redeemed us through His Son, Jesus Christ. And this morning, I just want you to know, the band's going to come and they're going to play one last song. While they're playing this song, I'm going to go out in the hall. And if you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, you're not a believer, you're not a Christ follower, and you just want to say, you know, I want to know more about that. I want to talk to you more about that. I'm going to be out there. And I would love to get to talk to you, and I'd love to get to pray with you. But I'm just here to tell you that your parents being followers in Christ is not enough for you. It's a decision that at some point you have to make when God is tugging on your heart, and He may be doing that this morning. He may be saying, you know what, it's time. It's time that you just come on. Quit playing the game. Just come on. Doesn't matter how long you've gone to church. Doesn't matter if this is your first time ever at church. If God is speaking to your heart this morning about knowing Him as your Savior, then I'm encouraging you, come out there and let's hang out for a few minutes and let's just talk about who Christ is and who He wants to be in your life. I want you to just bow your heads and just close your eyes for just a moment here. I want us just to take a minute just to pray. And Christians, I want to ask you, if you're a follower of Christ, if you're a believer today, I would ask that you would begin to pray right now, God, that God would just really speak to the hearts of people that are here that don't know Christ this morning. That we could collectively as a church say that if there's someone here this morning, that we could say, God, please, God, cry out to their heart right now. Do that right now. Pray for them right now. Ask God to continue to just search your heart about where you're at personally, if you're a Christian or you're not. Now's a great time for you to do that if you haven't done it before now in the service. God, we thank you so much. For sending your Son as a sacrifice. God, to redeem us of our sin. The very thing that breaks your heart, you allowed your Son to take on His back on that cross and to be killed for it. God, He stood in our place where we should be. You sent your Son. And God, because of that, we can have a personal relationship with you. We can know you as our Lord and Savior. God, this morning, God, I pray, Lord, that we collectively as a church would see that the point of us studying who you are, other than the fact of giving you glory, is for us to know you more. And for us to know that as we know you more, God, that we understand more and more of who we are and who you've called us to be. God, I just pray for that this morning for all of us. God, I just pray that we would all understand that our studying you sheds light on who we are. God, I just pray that this morning, God, that you would speak to our hearts about that. God, that as we worship you, that our worship would be genuine, that it would be just for you, not for anybody around us, but that it's all for you. God, if there's one soul here today, God, that doesn't know you, they're not a Christian, they want to know more, God, I pray, Lord, that you would lead them to come out and just speak with me after. During this song, as soon as the band begins to play, we all stand, that they would just make a beeline for the door. God, we love you and we thank you for everything that you've done for us, for allowing us to get to worship you, for allowing us to get to study your word, for allowing us to get to be here together in this place. God, you are awesome. We thank you for that. We love you, Lord. In your name I pray. Amen. Would you stand with us as we worship together?
Think on the reasons that Christ came.